Join us in person for 3 days of learning, connecting, and forward thinking about long-term care pharmacy in lovely San Antonio Hill Country. Get ready for the conversations that will spark aha moments.
Oh my goodness.
This is the Integra 2022 conference, Always Forward. Sign up today for this special event featuring leaders in long-term care pharmacy like Alan Rosenblum. Alan is the president and CEO of the Senior Care Pharmacy Coalition. The SCPC is the only trade group in Washington, D.C. dedicated exclusively to the political and public policy interests of long-term care pharmacies. Register at 2022alwaysforward.com. That's 2022alwaysforward.com. Listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Since 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been leading podcast publications as the insider voice of the pharmacy industry. Explore the profession and business of pharmacy through audio. Join us at pharmacypodcast.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or any of your favorite podcast directories.
Welcome to the Integra X-Files, a place where we'll explore and solve for the X factor that will help reshape the future of long-term care pharmacy. Join us to discuss topics and insights that will help you discover ways to grow your pharmacy, stay up to date on important legislative and regulatory issues, learn best practices for operating a profitable pharmacy business, and unlock the mysteries of technology. Join hosts Francis Nahas, Chief Strategy Officer for Red Sail Technologies, and Jim McDonald, Vice President of Sales at Integra, as they connect with experts and leaders in the field to bring you content that matters in long-term care.
All right, here we are again, folks. Welcome to the Integra X-Files podcast. This is Francis Nahas, one of your hosts.
I am Jim McDonald with Integra, and we've got a really good guest today. He happens to be my boss, so I have to say great things about him. So Bob Bates, he's the president of Integra and QS1 at Red Sail Technologies. He's a C-level healthcare software leader. He's an entrepreneur with strong technology, operations, and product background, and he's been very successful here as well, but other companies as CIOs, CTOs, COOs, and presidential roles. So that's Bob Bates.
Thank you, Jim. I think I work for you anyway, so you're probably the leader in the industry.
at least we understand that. We're good.
Get that out of the way right now.
Yeah, we're good with that.
Jim gives the big introduction, and I'm like, Bob, tech guy. Like, yeah. this is who we have today.
Top nerd. I get it.
Incredible leader and top nerd.
Perfect. I'm humble.
So yes, we're keeping it in-house this week, right? We're bringing in one of our own. In part though, because what we want to talk about this week is technology, and there's no one I know better to talk about that than Bob. So this is going to be fun. We're gonna all tech out for 30 minutes to an hour and have a good time.
Awesome.
So Bob, where are you this morning? Are you home? Or are you in Spartanburg?
I am in Atlanta because we're heading to the MHA conference on Wednesday. So I'm taking off from the big airport in the south. But usually every other week I'm in Spartanburg, which is one of our headquarters.
Since you brought that up, Bob, I'm going to jump in here for just a second. We do have the MHA conference that we're attending. Integra is attending this week in Las Vegas. So we'll have all of our products there available for a look. We have some private showings on a new product that we're working on, but we'll be at MHA this week. And also for all of our Integra customers and others that want to attend, June 7th through the 9th, we have our Integra conference in San Antonio, Texas. And we've got some great speakers there. I know Alan Rosenblum from Senior Care Pharmacy Coalition is one of those. We do have a motivational speaker as our keynote. So it'll be a really good conference, and we want everybody to attend and enjoy what we do there. So thanks for the intro into the trade shows.
Perfect. Yeah, there we go. That officially concludes our commercial break.
It does.
Thanks, everyone. So Bob, how is Atlanta? You're on the acreage. You're on the...
So for those who don't know, we live on a big 101 plot overlooking. So if you see me look out the window, it's because Huron's out there probably stealing some fish in our little pond that we have out there.
That's awesome.
Or there's an otter.
Yeah. Or there's an otter, which sufficient. They're not nice.
Otter. See, I love an otter though. They're super fun.
They're
actually
cute.
But the Atlanta Aquarium downtown has like their little otter exhibit. I could stand there and watch them for hours. They're just hilarious.
They are beautiful, but they are, they don't run from you when you walk up on them. So I accidentally walked up on one as he was stealing. They eat about 2 to 3 pounds of fish a day. And my son was behind me and he kind of looked at me and said, well, I'm not moving. So don't think about it. So we walk back up there.
Nice. Smart move. So do you get sufficient internet access at the out there for somebody who's a tech nerd?
We go wireless.
Okay. Okay. There we go. Awesome. So let's jump in. So our topic this week is kind of cloud technology, the great enabler, but really it's just let's talk tech. So what's new? What's the new stuff that's cool? What's cool about the cloud? You've worked a bunch now at kind of multiple places and helping companies move into the cloud. What gets you excited about?
Awesome. Thank you. And I do get excited. So you got to kind of temper me a little bit, but the number one thing is people have moved more to platforms, which is platform as a service. So you heard software as a service. Well, the next evolution of that is building platforms. And the reason you can build platforms is because you build them in a serviceable way. So what people used to build in the past, and you know, there's an evolution of what 50, 60 years of this, but database centric with code wrapped around it and stored procedures. And then they built forms on the top of that. And if you look at those, aren't very scalable, right? So what's happened is you heard service oriented architecture. So they started to evolve. Well, now they've become, you know, much more, actually they're easier to teach and to educate people, but it's a transformational thing in your head. But you build functions and you build those as discrete components on top of a platform that everybody can use. And then you step one layer up and you say, okay, access to that platform is with APIs. So it's really simple. You just build databases with discrete functionality. That's major functions in a platform. And then you build APIs on the top of that. And then what's really cool is then mobile technology. People used to have to build mobile apps and it'd take them 6 months to a year. And there's maintenance and there's always bugs. You don't have to do that because just innately out of the box, you have a very scalable, very reusable platform because you have these APIs that are just standard. And people hear APIs, what are they? That just means access and integration points with defined rules of engagement. How do you talk? It's kind of like the English language, right? That's our API with the rest of the world.
Nice. So I'm going to go back to the first part you said. And this is what, for those who don't know, this is what Bob and I do all the time. Bob gives the technical answer. And I'm like, for those like me that do not have a technical background.
She's smart. Don't let her kid you.
Part of the evolution that I heard in there is almost like it's like a factory and it's going from doing things serially to doing things like, hey, let's make each of the components and then you can bring them together far more quickly than if you actually have to go kind of step by step along the chain. Is that part of the evolution that's happened?
It totally is. And, you know, we're kind of leading into this because we actually have a platform. We replatformed our entire company with two parts, the PMS, the Exchange, which means interactions with all of our partners and even our pharmacies. And then we have the data lake behind it to get information. But totally part of the transformation is if you think about it, you know, somebody asked me, said, well, how long does it take to enter this market and what are the things that will hold you up? If you don't take this route, you think, we got about 70, 80 people working on this for the last 2 years. You can't do that if you take another approach architecturally. So you have to be wise in saying, design it up front. And we can go into some of the design too, but absolutely, it's much more discreet. And you can have multiple people working on it. And then you really just make sure that ties together. And you have a few architects or engineers that do that. So much, and not only is it scalable from a development perspective, but also from a release and maintenance perspective. I mean, we can move so much faster because of the discreteness and the design that went into it up front. And we did this in 2 years. I mean, so we're about to have a platform. I always tease that it's like having a baby, right? We're in the third trimester and you know, we're just kind of walking around the gym hoping that the water breaks because we're about to give birth to our first platform, which is really cool. My baby, our baby.
That the water breaks, right? Our little baby.
There you go.
So why though, you know, folks have had assistant and we've all been through this. It's like, I joke all the time. It was like getting off the BlackBerry back in the day, moving to the iPhone. You're like, it's different and it's new, right? But what are the benefits of technology that's in the cloud? versus, you know, for the layman, for the the pharmacist that's out there that's using it. What makes
one
it
of those is one of those less is more. So you have less expensive systems and so forth. Is that one of those?
Man, there's so much has come around. It's actually fun to be. I mean, when your hobby's your job, it's like a blast. I mean, that technology's come around where it's easier to roll out platforms. But you asked for some of the things that stop people from making the move. I mean, there's concerns with control. People like to see a server, right?
Yep.
They like to see the ability. My data's here, so if I can see it, it exists. And the truth is, I can't see it. What happens if the internet goes down? And I'm like, well, then if it does, you're not going to be processing prescriptions anyway. And there's other ways. Like there's satellite now. That, you know, you got Starlink. You've got wireless. I mean, I'm out, like we were joking about, I'm out in the middle of the woods in 101 acres. Yeah. And I'm high tech because I have an internet gateway. And also, we're about to have Starlink installed as well. I mean, you have redundancy. You have the same data. And the things you get from you move to, you know, we're going to talk about cloud in a little while, but I'm sure that's the lead in. But you think about it, normally a well-run pharmacy, you have one discrete server and it's not scalable, right? So they think they got something, you know, in front of them and it feels good and totally understand why. But if you think about if you move to a remote host, which is, I mean, we've been doing that for 20 years, right? Don't call it cloud. It's a private cloud is what they call it now. Yeah. That's the new word. But there was hosting done remotely. And you have a main site, which is where your operational data is. In fact, if you really run it well, there's two sites, and then there's a third one for DR. So you'll hear the term high availability. But the second you go toward those technologies, which is just new, it's a transformational thing for an industry that didn't have to do it. Now we're seeing scale. We're seeing, you know, people want to do central fill, things like that. And if you're moving toward things like that, you almost have to move to the cloud to be efficient. The other thing is with security, there's no way I'd want a server on-prem unless I was really good at what I do. And we have security experts, so we manage that ourselves. But you think about it, you've got two live sites with your data, so you're not going to lose your data ever. And we've architected where even if there was a pause, we hold that data and then we resend it. Then we have a DR site. So if you ever were down.
So DR, because you said this before, I'm going to define this.
Disaster recovery.
Don't know it. Yeah, disaster recovery. So basically it's sort of three sites. There's two that are active at any time that are working.
That's right.
So if one of those goes down, you still have an active kind of cloud site working.
Yeah, DR is
and then
OMG.
You have a third one that's like, okay, if it really gets bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I call DR OMG. I mean, oh my God, it's really broke. I have to go pull data and rebuild a system. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start editing that in slides. It's no longer going to be DR. It's going to be OMG. That's perfect. Nice.
So is my performance going to be better when I'm in the cloud as far as my systems go?
Absolutely. Yeah. One time people would, and they had a valid argument. I mean, it was, you know, browser-based versus, man, I'm local and it does perform better. And actually the older architectures, you think about it, simply put, there's a database, which is just a bunch of storage. And then they built like programs right on top of it, were scripts. The problem is as complex as this business is now, and it's grown. I mean, you think about it, it took us probably, we're still defining some of the system, right? It takes years and all those stored procedures are down there. So there's interactions, there's actually latency with those. There's the ability to design and get things out faster. So when you think about that, it did perform at one time. Now the browsers have caught up with that. So they do a lot of caching, the way they interact with the system itself and in the cloud allows you to same speed. And actually I would debate that you have a greater, it allows you the ability when you go that route to roll features out quicker. I mean, it actually an example, we were in a San Diego trade show, you know, and you could describe the event, but we were actually making changes right up. Say, hey, I want to see this. So we added functionality in that system within an hour and we fully tested it because we built automation in our capability. So yeah, it performs. And then the other thing I would say, if you look at performance, if you have a singular system out at a site, first of all, you're going to have hardware failures. It's not an if, it's a when. Do you have another server waiting, A? And B, they have physical limitations. With what we've done in hosting, you don't. And actually, technology is so beautiful now. It's like you auto-spawn services or code, you know, and it scales out horizontally. So if you're seeing, you know, that you know, usage is up and you're running an export or you're running end of month, which we see, and, you know, they are our cycles. You won't see that if we build that correctly, which we have. Cloud, we test that, and you don't have one server. You have as many as you need to run this this ecosystem.
So I'm going to once again dumb this down to Francis level.
Yeah, come on.
So this is like my computer's doing super slow because I got Excel running, and I control alt delete, and I'm looking at my memory, I'm looking at my CPU, and they're like maxing out. Right. The point here is, hey, if you're on site with a server, that's happening in those big months. And if you're in the cloud, it's just like, okay, great. We've got another server and another server and another server.
Yeah. I need more stuff.
So you're you're not constrained by, hey, this one little machine sitting on my desk is the max I can do.
Totally is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You make me look smarter than I am. And actually Frances plays that part, but her daddy has like multiple patents. So we were joking about it.
Yeah.
She always asks really good questions and makes it simple.
He's a good engineer. And I'm like, how do I explain this? Like I'm in kindergarten. Like help me translate. That's the role. Cool. Here's a kind of thing that I noodle on all the time. So I've spent the last decade of my career in healthcare. Before that, I did nothing in healthcare. And actually one of the jobs I had, we spent a lot with the federal government. So it was a bit of a shock for me when I moved into healthcare and was like, oh, the government might actually be more advanced from an IT perspective, which is not usually the perception. But it has been my experience that moving into healthcare, you've got some of the most incredible forward-thinking clinical things going on and technology that is often kind of pretty behind the times. So why is that? Why do you think that is? You've been in healthcare for a while, Bob. What do you see?
Gosh, and you're right. I did see it when I came over. It was like a shock. I was like, man, you know, I think number one is why, if nobody else is making that investment, I mean, we're going to be the leader in the cloud. The second one is I look at it and there's like 40 years of, I mean, especially in the long-term care space, but even in community, you've got like very complex, and I built a claim system in the past on my team that it's highly complex, and nobody took the time to go back and say, this is what I built over time. It was an accumulation and regulations followed it. But then I would say that the third one is, so there's three, right? There's the, you know, you got the cultural / nobody else is doing it, kind of a combo. Maybe that's two.
Yeah.
Three is you have a very complex system. And then four, a lot of people have tried and they failed. And they failed in their approach. And what we've seen, you know, and I've seen it not just here, but in other places and in industry, basically in healthcare, is the failure to marry business intelligence and design from that perspective with technology and do it together. I see it either level loaded toward or heavily weighted toward, you know, either it's all about the BAs and then it's all about the tech. And you've got to get those two working well together. And then you got to kind of come up with an MVP, like what is a basic platform look like? And don't get too complex, right? Good engineers and good business leaders keep things simple and then they grow. Yeah. And so we did it over time, a more of an iterative phased approach with a good foundation. And that good foundation matters. If you don't do that right, I can guarantee you will spend lots of money and you won't be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to come back and define for our non-techie folks who might be on the call, BAs, as somebody said, so the business analyst.
Yes. Thank
so
you.
So it's marrying the folks who understand the technical, how it works with the people who understand like, hey, what are you actually trying to accomplish? What's the system goal or business goal?
Yeah, a question that we always get when we're out talking to people about the cloud is, what if the cloud goes down? You mentioned earlier, if your server goes down, you're not going to fill prescriptions anyway. So there are cloud backups that people can access. You mentioned a few items there.
Yeah, because you're browser-based, you can actually, and then we've tested it, you can use a laptop, you can use your server and you can go out through. I would recommend it to anybody anyway. You should have a plan B. And that plan B is wireless. I mean, whether it's satellite wireless or it's 5G, you know, and 6G will come out in another few years, but those things are built with broadband capabilities. And I would go that route. Later on, you'll see us downloading an agent, but still, that's not the answer. The answer is connectivity. Mm-hmm. And if you have low internet landline, I would actually say that's secondary and go wireless. And then vice versa, right? If you can't get You know, if you can get fiber there and you're going wireless and that's a gateway and you're a long care facility, go with the fiber, but then have a backup. I mean, in my house, I have a internet gateway and I get heavy throughput. And then, you know, you've got satellites that are, you know, giving, you know, multiple gig. So,
well, it's funny. I think it's been a decade since I've even had a landline in my own home. Yeah. Right. It's fiber now and cell.
Yeah.
Wireless. Totally. I worked with a phone company at one time and I don't have a landline. Why? Why would you do that?
Yeah. My sister, they finally got rid of theirs. I think the only reason they still had it was because they had kids who didn't have a cell phone yet. And so if they were, you know, it's like they gave them a number to call and then they were going to get rid of it. And we were laughing because it was like, no, that's the only phone number I have memorized, that one of my parents. That's it. That's all I know. I know by heart.
Pretty addicting and life-changing because I went and visited my daughter in Copenhagen recently and we're at dinner and I'm like working on my phone. She grabbed my phone and she grabbed my wife. Yeah. She goes, so you think that, and she's like working on her master's and she's pretty nerdy too, pretty awesome kid. She grabs her phone, puts them aside and says, hey, no tech. We're going to have dinner.
Get an actual dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting her to be on the phone, not me.
Right.
And I appreciate the fact she did that too.
Actually, Jim said, I'm not answering your emails anymore.
Right. You get the rest of the weekend off. That's right.
I still kept sending them.
You know, it's addictive. It's hard to get away.
Yeah, it really is.
So if I'm a pharmacist listening or I'm a COO, what questions should I be asking as I'm looking at new technology? What's the thing, you know, hey, particularly if I'm moving from something where it's on site and I've got a server in my facility to something that's in the cloud, what should I be thinking about? What questions should I be asking?
Can I read some stats real quick though? First, kind of like, why be fearful? You know, you're right. It's cultural and it's probably more industry related in some cases. And I stole these off the web, so you go grab yourself. And I'm plagiarizing, but you know, I'll give credit if I have to at the end. 81% of all enterprises have reported they have a multi-cloud strategy.
Yeah.
So you got 20% of the US. I debate on what areas those are or what sectors, but yeah, even the federal government has moved there. Like,
hey, 2004, we were implementing, you know, web-based ERP systems for the federal government. Now, not fully cloud yet, but like moving that, which was way farther along than healthcare was at the time.
2021, 2/3 of enterprise infrastructure was cloud-based. And we actually have a hybrid, just then I'll explain what a hybrid is in a little while. It's reported 82% of the workload will be in the cloud this year. So just kind of give you the big companies that know that scale is important and innovation is important have moved. And if you look at the big players, they're Amazon. Amazon's about a third of the market. About 17 to 18% is in Azure, which is Microsoft, and then you have Google and other players out there. And then platform is as a service, which we are building. That's where people really, if you're thinking future and you want something that will live on, that's expected to grow in adoption by about 56% this coming year. So. Actually, I was by 2020. So, you know, it's even greater than that. And it makes sense. If you've worked with these technologies, you kind of know it pays off. And so those are the things I would look for. And then if you're looking for as a COO, which I've been fortunate enough to be in those roles, you look at, you know, cost and scalability. And I would offer in infrastructure, it is so critical that if you aren't good at what you do, you know, my experience has been, do what you do really well, and the things you're not as good at, give to somebody who's an expert. And the cost of entry to do it right is very high. And the one thing I would be really worried about right now is security. So if you don't have security experts and you don't have security by design and security tested in your releases, then and you don't have an architecture that supports that would scare the daylights out of me right now. And it does actually, it scares me. And that's what, you know, that's what keeps me up at night. And we actually have experts that work on that. And we have governance going on and we have, you know, we actually run tools every day to make sure that we're protected and that's mission critical. And if you look at what we do, which most people don't, if you're running your own facility and, you know, you get your own data, we actually encrypt our data in transit, and we encrypt it at rest. And then we have tools that overlay that. So those are like the fundamentals of what we do. So those are the things I look for. And then when you look at TCO, you know, people say, well, why make the move?
TCO, we're going to acronym again.
Go ahead, you explain. You're better at it than I am.
Total cost of ownership. What are you spending when it's all in versus just kind of the one top line item or something like that?
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Francis. When you consider those, it's actually, there's ways to do it where you don't spend more to go to the cloud. And there's also, you know, it's like agile development. People are really pure about it. Well, you didn't, release code every 2 weeks and things like that. There's the hybrid model. And I would give you what we do. I mean, we use cloud-based hosting, which is the metal. We use the network. We use what tools make sense. We actually maintain our own servers. We actually have full automation that we've built. So that pipeline is built as well. So, you know, you can pay for the services. They're more expensive, or you can find the in-between. And you got to go, what capabilities do I have and what am I good at and what am I not good at? We didn't want to give that up because we are building a platform as a service, and we want to maintain our maintenance cycles, which are different than what, you know, Azure would do. They'd say, hey, we got this big database. We want to bounce it on Saturday at 5 p.m. For us, time matters.
Yep. Yeah.
I hope I answered that. That was a long.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's sort of, can I be honest?
Yeah.
It's early here. I don't even remember what the question was I asked.
What's a COO worried about? Which is Chief Operating Officer. I'm going to add.
Yeah. We're defining acronyms today. It's good. Well, and I love the thought process of like, look, what are you really, really good at? And what actually, and it's balanced with what actually takes a good amount of investment to be where you need to be at. And how do you, you know, if you don't, if it's going to cost you a lot and it's difficult to build that in-house, how do you find the partners that can provide that for you? And security is a huge one there with IT these days.
Yeah. I'd actually say risk is probably going like this now.
Yeah. And, you know, from a cloud perspective, I think it's interesting because so many systems now, like when we think internally, you know, if you go out and try to buy an HR system, or you try to buy a sales system, or you try to buy, you know, even a lot of ERP systems these days, it's almost hard to buy one that's not in the cloud. Like that is the way they're built and designed and sold these days. So
when you look at that too, it's actually the quality of those packages have gotten so much better because everybody's using the same code release.
Yep.
Which is a big deal. And then, you know, there's like the follow-ons too that you wouldn't even consider. Like when you call in the support and you have one software release out there. The training process for us to get everybody good at that, hey, I know what you're going through, or I saw the same thing in another customer. It will differ if you have different releases out there. So those are soft things, but they're really hard things that matter in customer set and quality.
This is one of those things I've allowed to be beaten in my head over the last 5 years is when your computer asks you to update, go ahead and update.
You're exactly right, Francis.
Worth it to do that.
And we have, you know, NRX and PrimeCare, our existing applications, we push really hard to say upgrade because we're investing in scalability and performance and making sure those are clean from a quality perspective. To me, in software, that's the 101s. I mean, if you don't have that, people lose confidence in what you're producing and they won't upgrade.
Yeah.
So we fight really hard to make sure we keep those, but that's not in the, you know, even we do hosting, so that's called private cloud.
Yep.
And then there's some on site, which is not cloud. It can be, you can actually have on site part of your cloud ecosystem. But if I did, I would force, you know, that would be auto updates on that.
Yeah. To keep folks on the same version.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's next technology wise?
Gosh, I mean, the integration points are growing. That's a really good question. Platform as a service for sure is just going to continue to take off. I think you'll see an evolution of microservices as well.
When you say microservices, what does that mean for folks?
Yeah, so it's just the ability to take code and make it very modular. I mean, that's really it. Even things like auto reporting. So we've actually built, so kind of break down our architecture. you know, from really simply put, it's you have pharmacy management systems that are currently on site or we host in our data center. You know, now we're building one that's platform in the cloud, which, you know, everybody have access to. And then there's the way to talk to it. And that's the exchange. We'll go back to that. I mean, I just want to make sure everybody has that rationale on their head. And because it matters now when you go to the data. So that's another thing I would ask the COO too. How do I get access to data? Because we actually have invested and built a data lake. So what you don't have when you build a discrete distributed network, you can do that. And they do. They bring it back into what I call big databases. Yeah. But we've invested to build a data lake. And what does that mean? It means all data that you use in either in transactional or, you know, any historical data, any operational data, we put that in one place. And then when you do that in that data lake, it allows you, we actually build a report generator. So you'll be able to key off data and you'll have your own sandbox. And that's coming. So for us, technology wise, data lakes have been out for a while, but they're evolving pretty nicely now.
Yeah.
We're using a Spark interface as well. And you'll be able to run your own reports instead of doing extracts or asking your partner to run reports for you. Eventually, you're going to be able to go in there on your own. That would be what I'd want operationally because it's competitive, right? And you also have the great resignation going on. And, you know, we hear that every day. And they want to be able to do central fill and consolidate. And, you know, they want to compete, right? And the only way to do that is you have to have operational data that helps you drive that. And, and we're actually the exchange and the data lake, where release 3 goes out in the middle of April. And you'll continue to see releases and cut over what we call Powerline, when you hear that.
Yep.
Yeah. Powerline's a new enhanced thing, our network services capability that allow you to go in and better run your operations and understand what you do.
And I'm gonna dumb this down again to Francis level. Mm-hmm. So when I think of technology evolution, what you described to me is sort of I view it as kind of a tipping point again. It's like we had the early technology days where you'd flat files.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big evolution. You saw systems transition to relational databases, right? So the world of SQL, that's very exciting. You can go in and you can write your fancy report from these mm-hmm. relational databases. Data lake is like the next evolution of that, right? So it's structured data, it's unstructured data, it's new ways to grab data, it's more flexibility. Is that a simple way to think about it? Is it accurate? Done.
Okay. Yeah. And for the CIOs to try to tie off of that, you know, it's think about we build things in templates to pour in, you know, no SQL or SQL. Yep. And even our SQL, you know, if you hear people go, well, I'm using SQL, that's the standard, right?
Yeah.
Or Oracle. Actually, it's not anymore. I mean, so like Postgres, we personally use, but there's others out there as well that are very, very scalable and use T-SQL stay. So, I mean, that's that you can actually grow much higher. And if you think about, I don't have to pay for the every instance I need. I actually just, you know, we set up, you know, nodes and, mm-hmm. and clusters, and that'll go beyond anything, you know, that we'll need. We might have regional plays in that just to make things faster, but it's about as scalable as you're going to need in this industry.
Which when you're talking about kind of all the data that flows through your system is huge, right? So it's scalable, easier access, better reporting, better analytics.
Absolutely. And we can help you too. I mean, we can start to see trends on behalf of all of our customers, right? So best practice. And that we're kind of doing that a little bit with our access platform as well, as we have people looking at it. We have, you know, not only do we have a, you know, a group of people that look at it with us, you know, and are in that journey, small committee of people that are like insider, the first few adopters. Yeah. But even greater than that, we actually have people say, what's the most efficient path in that system? And what are the things that we would build in operationally as features?
Yeah.
And we'll continue to do that. You know, how do I take less clicks out? Because that's, I mean, in the days, I mean, people, when you, that's the thing we actually go up against. You were asking about culture is they don't even look at the screen. It's tab, right? Control function.
Boom, 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 boom.
So I've got to do something like that. We won't. Build out we have some control functions in there, but it won't be fully, you know,
we'll
control
get, function. Yeah,
but how do I make that where it's worth their while to actually touch a screen or hit their mouse?
Right. Although then you get the touchscreen stuff and you go back to a non-touchscreen and you start poking at the screen. Like, why doesn't this work?
Right. And you break your screen.
Yeah.
You know, you're poking too hard.
Right.
One thing is fun about usability. And that's you look at what we did with Axis, that's by design too. And that's where the tools have gotten so much better, and it's browser based, right? So when you design a system, you should have a sitemap that says, how do I get through this system? Because if you don't have that, you won't know how many clicks unless you're using tools, and you can do that. Yeah. But that's kind of not, that's backwards, right? The investment is higher, and it's, you know, you're going to be having new releases that fix things that you should have done initially.
You want it designed with that in mind from the get-go. Yeah.
So we have them. They look like big, nasty spider diagrams, but they, that's how you get through the system. And then you build it that way. And so what you build is API services. And then you can build a screen during, later, before, whatever. And then you link the two together. So that experience matters a lot in the usability. And we put a whole lot of work into that. And you should, right? It's not just faster with a browser.
Yeah.
Design.
It's actually a perfect example of what you were talking about in the beginning of how do you marry what the business analysts do, the BAs with the tech folks, right? That's part of it is the BAs know what's that process look like. The tech folks know, well, here's what actually has to happen in the back end to make that happen. And together you kind of build out those massive spider maps of here's how the system flows. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you measure it afterwards. Say, hey, is there a spot they're getting hung up in? You know, can we optimize? But you're absolutely right. Do the heavy work on the front end and then you can optimize. If not, it's going to be heavy work on the back end.
Yeah.
And in software, the more you push design or problems downstream, it actually goes up. And, you know, people say exponentially, but significantly more rework.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus having a good, solid design and then you can add features, but you've got the the core design.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, does this make it easier? You know, a lot of people with COVID, a lot of employees are working from home now. Does this cloud make it easier for them to access their systems from home and to work from home?
It certainly does. You know, you always have to worry about PHI, though. So, you know, even when we develop, you know, first of all, we don't give developers access to customer data. When we do, it's what we call encrypted or contrived or something like that. But absolutely, you know, we can show you, you know, in our demos, we actually take an iPad and say, okay, I can do this from my house. You know, I can run my operation if I needed to. The other thing we've done, and it's kind of edge, you know, it's cutting edge kind of, you know, we built an identity service on the front end. It's actually somewhat been out there for years, but we innovated pretty heavily and said, okay, access to any of our systems will go through this identity service. And it says, hey, Bob, you can actually have these functions in facility A, and you can have only these in facility B because of, you know, you're not allowed to touch that customer's data, or you can, you know, you can have access with single sign-on to DocuTrack versus Axis versus. And it allows us to have one sign in. And it also will tie back to your ERP system or your AD system or whatever. And so part of the problem is user management is a big deal. You don't want people in your systems when they're not supposed to be. The other one is when you don't track when people go offline in your system, like especially right now, you know, with all the people moving from jobs or changing jobs or not going back to jobs. You want the ability to auto update that, and you don't want somebody coming back in later to touch. And then to your point, Francis, you can take your PC and you can log in with a browser at home. If the company allows you to do that, then you can do that for your facility, especially. And that enables things like they call that true business continuity planning. Mm-hmm. That's how you can get business continuity planning. And candidly, a lot of workers want to work from home now. And you can start to enable some of that, which is great. I mean, that's the flexibility we've tried to build in our new system. And we're actually rolling that back into our existing systems as well over time. That just makes a whole lot of sense.
So I've heard kind of a couple themes, and I want to tease some of them out or maybe kind of test, are these accurate? So one is scalability. So as you grow, does your software grow with you? How easy or hard is that? Two is cost of ownership, right? What's it cost you to put stuff in your own facility versus leverage shared facilities, let's call it, for kind of ease of description. Three is sort of the idea of, hey, what are you experts at versus what are others experts at? And how do you put the task with the folks who are the most expert at it. And security is the great example of that, but others as well. What are some of the other, like, hey, if we think big themes as you think about technology, and those are three that kind of really stood out, and probably speed to change, right? So if everybody's on a consistent version, you can, and support, right? So everybody's on a consistent version. It's easier to release new things. It's easier to support them. It's easier to kind of keep the system healthy and where you want it to be. Other things we missed are stuff, Bob, that you think like, hey, this is a really big theme. You should walk away.
Gosh, I think you did a pretty good job with the growth, auto growth. And I, you know, one thing I would say is don't be purist about what you do. Yeah. You know, if you already have some capabilities, like have your own baby data center, you know, there's a way to do that. You know, not, you know, certainly with us, you can, if you want to do some data on your own side, that's fine. We do that. You just link the two data, but absolutely it's growth, TCO. There's no reason to be in the IT business if you're not going to do it really well. I mean, hardware is a hard business to make money at, and people are really good at it. Infrastructure is really important now. People have made it more of a commodity, but the truth is they haven't. It's just went to a few people that are really good at it and do it more effectively and more cost efficiently when you consider all cost being in. And we do the same thing, right? We are a platform. So we're going to, at the end of the day, we're going to be ahead of the pack because of the capability to scale and have one code base. And you talked about experts. I would go back to the experts of, yes, we are in security and yes, we are in infrastructure, but also when we're not, we actually have an integration methodology where we'll tie it in and you won't even know you're in another system.
Yeah.
We're already forging some of those, like in, you know, the consulting software that we see, you know, for, you know, or HMED or whatever those might be. And I don't want to give away things, but if you're not going to be the best, partner with somebody and offer the best services as a platform, and then we're doing a better job for our customers or our partners in this, in this business.
Yeah, I think of it again. I'm gonna simplify it down. Like anywhere online, if you're typing in an address, all those companies are using the same probably two or three vendors that provide that kind of source data and editing. Or if you're doing a credit card transaction, right? There's a handful, and it's all seamless when you're on the website. Yeah. It looks like you're just there, right? But they're going to the folks who are expert and do that every day to do that particular capability and just pulling it in.
I learned a long time ago when I was in IT, the best phone call you get is the one you don't get.
Right.
And, the only time you hear from people is when things are broke.
Right.
And that should be your goal. Like, it should be seamless and you should be worried about running your operations and our job is to make your operations easier for you.
Yeah. Cool. So let's, one thing we ask everybody at the end of the podcast. So we've got, you know, folks out in the industry listening, hopefully lots of folks who are in the pharmacy working, what should they take away from this? That's sort of the one big thing. Hey, if you do something differently in your job tomorrow, or you think about your business differently tomorrow, what's that one thing they should absolutely walk away thinking about?
One thing I would walk away with, find a partner that you can trust and a platform. And the only way to do that is have a strategy for where you want to be. If yours is to be the most efficient, then you got to find a partner that matches that. If you're going to find the one that's the most secure, that's operationally the most sound, find a partner to do that. So that would be the number one thing. Partnership means everything. Mm-hmm. And I call this an ecosystem. We're a part of a bigger ecosystem. And our job is to be the platform that is basically the foundation for that ecosystem. So that's our goal and our objective is to be the best in class at being your platform.
Awesome.
Makes a lot of sense. Yep.
All right. Jim, any last? The partnership's huge. It's huge.
Oh, no, exactly. No. I think that's good. That sounds like the good X factor there.
So. All right.
We're about to show the system off too. So if you haven't seen it, can I give a shameless plug?
Yeah, give a shameless plug.
Please ask. I mean, we have advisory boards. We have MHA coming up, as you heard about, and tie off back at that. And at the Integra conference, you can actually reserve time as well. And then we're going to have training sessions as well. So feel free to reach out to us and we'll be glad to show you and take you along that journey with us. But coming very soon to a theater near you.
Awesome. Cool, cool. Well, this has been tons of fun. Enjoy your time at home this week, Bob. I know that the time you get, that's a rarity because you're usually up in Spartanburg.
Yep.
This has been fabulous, and thank you, everybody.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Integra X-Files. We'd like to hear from you and gain your perspective on the X factor in improving long-term care pharmacy. Connect with us at IntegraXFiles.com. That's IntegraXFiles.com.